If you'll turn to that number that John has announced, we'll use that in just a moment. I'd like to invite you to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. Do you know what you'll find there? You'll define a scripture, a collection of scriptures about a worthy woman. In many ways, today is a day we recognize our blessings. First day of the week, our focus is on God and the glory in which God has demonstrated His power, His love, His mercy, and His loving kindness. And it's a time in which, truly, as we gather together and encourage each other in the way in which we have this day of worship, we recognize our blessings. And God, we know, is the source of all our blessings. That's what thrills us so much to give Him honor and praise today with our dedicated lives. And one way in which God blesses us is, well, with individuals in our lives that are like agents of that blessing. And in that, they shape our lives and encourage our lives. There are many people, perhaps, that you would recognize, like I would, that have strengthened us in the faith, have not only lived their lives in accordance with God's will and commandments as demonstrated in His Word, but they have enabled us to see how faith works, to see a life that's shaped by hope, to see a life that wants to walk in the way in which Jesus has walked. And if you have that in your life, you recognize that that's a blessing. Here in Proverbs 31, the wise man gives us a virtuous woman that he exalts and describes in a way in which the family recognizes that they are blessed. And in this life, I want to look at it with you to talk about the blessed life, the life that has that kind of influence that is among us. And how he describes it, let's look at beginning in verse 25, Proverbs 31 verse 25, where he says, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." How would you define the word blessed? You know, in many ways, we think about the Beatitudes. You know, we looked this morning at verse 10, but in those first 10 verses, they all begin with that same word, blessed. And we tend to look at that as happiness. Is that a first cousin of being joyful? In many ways, that's fair. When you look at in Genesis, particularly chapter 30 and verse 13, Leah, the wife of Jacob, gives birth to Asher. And it's no reason to remember this, but the name Asher, we're told, means happy one. And she says that she has been blessed. And so she recognizes in that name that God has blessed her, and so she has found happiness. And in many ways, being blessed is finding favor. It is finding prosperity and success. The word itself in its original meaning is be straight. And recognizing here that God is the one in which brings prosperity to those lives that are committed to Him. I always like it when you can read in the Bible that children rise up. You know, that's not the nature of a child, just to rise up. But here there are certain things that we motivate our kids to get up about. Well, here, they rise up to praise this woman. And in doing it, it says her husband also. Now, I don't know what Mother received today, but you know the praise that this family gives hers in verse 29. I don't know that you get a t-shirt with that on it. I don't know that there's a mug out there. But if you're running out of gifts, look for it. Because it's worthy when it says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. What's that saying? Well, that's saying she's first, isn't it? She's above all else. And what makes her that way is the fact that she fears the Lord. She honors the Lord. She recognizes the Lord. And that is her motivation, and that's the source of her favor. I'd like for us to think about this kind of life. Not just for mothers, not just for women, but for all of us as believers in Christ. The life that is a blessed life that makes a difference in this world for God, that demonstrates a life that recognizes God as the source of our favor. And that He gives us guidance and direction to where our lives can have true happiness, true joy as we follow that straight way that He leads before us. If you look in Genesis 39, I find one of the great examples of a blessed life is in the life of Joseph. You'll remember the story of Joseph in that he did not find favor with his brothers, and as a matter of fact, his brothers despised him to the level to where they had a passion to kill him and take his life. And that's not what happened, but something just as bad in that they sold him as a slave, and in all their thinking, he would not be part of their life anymore. And he finds himself in the house of Potiphar as a house slave. And as he is described in his work there in Egypt, it says in verse 2 of Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in the field. And thus, Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Here, it recognizes that God has blessed the house of Potiphar, and he recognized that Joseph and the man that he was and the life that he lived and the priorities that he had there in his household was a blessing. Even from there, when he left and found disfavor with Miss Potiphar and stood up to her wickedness, and he found himself in prison, even there, verse 22 tells us, that the Lord continued with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph lived a blessed life, and others benefited from that as a favor. That's what happens with our lives when we put God first and are faithful to Him no matter what setting, no matter what obstacles. That was not something just unique with Joseph, but his father, Jacob. When he found himself in the house of Laban, in chapter 30, verse 27. Laban said to Jacob, stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Individuals that are faithful can be a blessing, can bring prosperity, can bring favor when we recognize that we serve God and we place Him first in our life. And here in both examples, you'll see that this blessed life was took note by people that were around them. And for Joseph, and the great challenge that was there is he was in a foreign land. A land that did not recognize God right off. They served idols and they served the gods of Egypt. And so even in an ungodly setting, even in a heathen setting, we can live a blessed life to where other individuals take note. But there are other things about this life that we live that we can learn about so that we do not get discouraged and continue to demonstrate faithfulness. For instance, we need to remind ourselves that though we are blessed in this life by individuals that are part of it, individuals that bring us favor, there's something about our nature to where it is easy, well, it's too easy for us to forget our blessings, to forget the favor and the well-being that we have with certain individuals looking after us and caring for us and wanting to wish us in a way in which we can keep our lives straight and successful. And that's demonstrated really by how people respond to God. God as our source of blessing, many times, again and again and again, we are reminded how that the people of old, the Israelites and the individuals that dwelt in the land for generations continued to forget God and His blessings. In Psalms 106, verse 4, that's the focus of the psalmist where he says, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known." Now, if these are the words of King David, these are powerful words that are here to recognize that what he wanted to see was the blessing of his chosen ones, of the benefits that God had placed upon this people as his own special people, the blessings of a relationship to where God would be their God, the same God that demonstrated his power that caused their deliverance out of the land of Egypt through those plagues, the same power that gave them deliverance through the Red Sea. When you think about it today, let me ask you this. What would you think if tonight you got home and you went to your favorite news channel, and some of you have got a favorite, and you looked on there and today there was a world leader that went on the airwaves and said the same thing that he is saying here. Specifically, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. It's almost unthinkable today, isn't it? And yet here he recognizes that too often we forget what God has done for us. Psalm 78, verse 7, "That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God." Why, I want you to remember this in living the dedicated life, the blessed life, and being faithful to it. Is there are times in which you can do favor to others, and do it throughout your years and demonstrate faithfulness, not just to your children, but to your family. Not just to your family, but to those that are part of your inner circle, those that are part of your church family. And there'll be times in which we'll forget the goodness and the happiness that individuals like that have brought to our lives. Don't be discouraged. Don't turn your back on those individuals. Continue to live the life that God has called you to live, but recognize God understands perhaps the feelings of frustration you have. That it is easy, too easy, and our nature is we forget those that are in our lives and are blessed and encourage us in the faith. But not only that, keep in mind also how God and His people has experienced giving out blessings giving prosperity to His people, and of all things, the response to that has not always been drawing closer to God, but has called them to turn their back on God. Again and again, the people of old were warned about that. That when they got to the promised land, watch out. They're going to receive benefits. They're going to receive blessings. That God is going to put them in a land. God's going to put them in a place. God is going to surround them with a setting that they did not create with their own hands. They are not worthy in many ways. But in those blessings, you'll turn your back on them. And how right God was. The prophet Hosea, in chapter 13, verse 4, but on behalf of God, he says, I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me. For as there is no Savior besides me, I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, when they had pastured, they were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. What God recognizes when we easily forget and we find ourselves looking around, that as a people, God delivered them. God gave them guidance. As a people, God gave them abundant living conditions. And yet here, the people again and again, generation after generation, they may find themselves going through trials and hard times, and they would turn to God. But of all things, it is in the days of prosperity. It is in the days of blessing. It is in the days in which God richly provides for them. Then, in that setting, they turn their back to God and they worship idols. And even today, we can recognize there are times in which, as a nation, as a congregation, as a family, we can find ourselves in a setting to where we are richly blessed. Far more to where we might even confess that when we look at the prayer, the model prayer, and Jesus says, pray like this, and then there is that phrase that says, we give thanks for our daily bread. We eat so in abundance that we cannot imagine not having daily bread. And yet in that prosperity, we tend to turn to the crowd which does not honor God, the crowd which pats themselves on the back, the crowd that will not draw near to God in His ways. And we become just like them. Jeremiah 14:7, he said, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you. Verse 21, do not abhor us for your name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us. And God never did. But even in a way in which we turn our back and recognize the foolishness of living in our own style, in our own paths, with our own fleshly desires, we can readily understand how that someone would turn their back. When you live the blessed life, there are going to be times in which the more you give, somebody will not appreciate it. Somebody will neglect it. Somebody may not give you thanks for all the sacrifices that you made. And as you continue to lead, as you continue to walk in the way in which you are convicted that God wants you to walk, don't be discouraged. Continue to be faithful to Him. Continue to live and follow that blessed life. Continue to be faithful and true. And watch and pray. That just like the prodigal son, one day, there will be those individuals in your lives that will come to their senses and they'll see the true blessed life and the way of God and turn to Him. Righteousness brings blessing. And in that is faithfulness to God's will. In that is faithfulness to God's teaching. If you look back in 1 Kings chapter 8, this time it's not King David, But it's King Solomon that's willing to step up. And on behalf of the people, although we're surrounded in a time where we're dedicating the temple that has been built, the house of God that he will dwell in and the people that will recognize. And it is the king that steps up, not usurping the authority of the priest, but he has something powerful to say. And as he approaches God, that is his focus. Look at this prayer in verse 56 beginning, where he says, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There is not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself." You hear what he's saying? He wants God to stay close, but he recognizes God's not the problem. He asks God to incline us, to get our attention, to cause us to draw to him. It's our heart problem. God has not failed in one promise, and his faithfulness has been throughout all of the generation. What is it that he asked for? In verse 58, "Help us to walk in all your ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine with which I have made supplication before the Lord be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day." In Ephesians 1:3, right up front, as Paul begins this letter to the Church of Christ in Ephesus, he reminds us something that is easy for us to forget. He reminds us something that is easy for us in giving ourselves credit for how smart we are, how bright we are, and how successful we are. Something that we need to be reminded of when he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You know, in this day and time, in this generation, it is so easy for us to recognize our blessings by what kind of stuff we have within our grasp. And if we're truly living the blessed life, we recognize that our true blessings is what we have in Jesus Christ. Our true blessings is what we have related to that which is eternal, not earthly. Our true blessing is in our hope and the divine promise that we have of eternal life in God's kingdom. And having that as a blessing and having that as a promise, it ought to cause us to be confident and in assurance of a life that will continue to walk in the ways of God. As part of this congregation, you are a blessing. You are a blessing in your faithfulness to God, and a needful member. It is a time in which you recognize the strength that a dedicated life for Him can bring. And you ought not be discouraged because not everybody has the same dedication. Whether part of your circle of life or part of your family life or even part of this congregation. Righteousness brings blessing. And righteous living keeps us all focused on the straight path. If you look at Psalms chapter 1, I want us to end by looking here and reminding ourselves of another place in which the Bible talks about a blessed life. And here he reminds us of the challenge that we have as believers, the challenge that we have as individuals. But when we talk about being blessed by God and we talk about being a blessed life for God, here's the reminder that we have and the important admonition that is here when he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is the blessed life. It's a life that recognizes that there are dangers that we must face. And the danger is that we are surrounded in this world, in this system in which Satan controls, by the ungodly. And the ungodly is trying to tell us how we ought to think. And the ungodly are trying to give us direction and counsel as if we do not know how to walk in the direction in which God has given. And in that counsel, it goes directly against the things of God. And the challenge is that we don't want to find ourselves standing in the way of sinners. We don't want to find ourselves sitting in the seat of the scornful. We don't want to be among those whose very nature is to murmur and complain as if there is no God. And the challenge for us is to remember what brings us to life. What brings delight to the blessed life is the Word of God. And the Word of God is such to where it is part of our everyday life. If you're living the blessed life, you got to understand that the Word of God is boring to many. If you're living the blessed life, you got to understand that the Word of God is dull to many. When you live the blessed life, you have to accept the fact that there are many individuals that think it's just a book of fantasy like many others that are dreamed up by authors. The Word of God is blessed. It's delightful. It is food to our soul. And it inspires us to live a life far above anything that the world can offer. And for us, when we live the blessed life, we recognize there is a destiny involved. And that destiny is described by being like that tree. That tree that does not wither. That tree that is rooting down its roots into the stream. That tree that is bringing forth fruit. That tree is leading us to being successful in our lives with God. But even in that life, that doesn't mean that we know exactly what path we're on. That doesn't mean exactly that we understand the way of God and sometimes some of our struggles. But right now, I would tell you, He is calling you to live His life, His way, and to be a blessing to those that you come in contact with. And it all begins by us recognizing the salvation that God offers for all. And the salvation and the life in looking at the example of Jesus and following in His footsteps. And when we do that, there will be the need for endurance. So I would tell you, in your pursuit of the blessed life, you stay with it. You stay with it in which you recognize that just like family life, sometimes we have to be reminded what our real blessings are. We have to be reminded that we're pursuing things that God would not be pleased with, and it's time to get our priorities back where they ought to be. We need to be reminded that the source of all blessings is God. And in Jesus Christ is the greatest blessing, because in Him is eternal life. Is that a blessing that you hold on to today? Life in Him with the hope of eternal life? And if not, before we leave, won't you make your life right? Come to Him. Repent. And look at the life that God has given us. The life in His kingdom that brings true happiness, true success, and eternal life. If we can help you in your sins, won't you come while together we stand and sing with John?